This is a PlanetPhilip.com podcast.
Hello and welcome to another PlanetPhilip.com audio interview. Joining me as guest interviewer today is Don, aka Unk. Hello, Don.
Hi, Philip. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it. And of course, we have the interviewee, which is Dimitri. Hello, Dimitri.
Hi, Phil. Hi, Don.
Hello.
Okay, so first of all, thank you for taking the time to chat with us today. We really appreciate it. For listeners who don't know, Dimitri is the author of a Half-Life 1 mod called Focal Point, which we'll get to in detail in a moment. But let's start at the beginning. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
About myself? All right. Yes, I'm Dimitri. I'm 29. I'm a trainer, basically, for sports lessons. And yeah, the modding is some kind of hobby. I have to say I gave it up, but we discuss it later.
Okay.
Anything else you want to know about me? So.
No, that's fine. Just it's nice for listeners to get some idea. So how long have you been modding then?
It's a difficult question because I was not modding the whole time. So I guess I modded since 2001, I guess. It's about, already 10 years, maybe?
Yeah,
that's a long time.
was it all for Half-Life?
Yep.
Okay.
And Half-Life single player, or did you go?
No, only single player. Yep.
Okay, so we got 10 years worth of modding to talk about.
Maybe.
Which leads me on to the next question, which is this the first mod you've released?
The first mod I've released. Yeah, that's right. The second I've done, but the first one I released. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Don, anytime you want to interject on me, you know, you jump in.
Sure.
So, you say it's the second mod. Which was the first one that you made?
It was called 36 Wheels. It doesn't have any sense, actually. It's just a mod. I wanted to build some weird places and some actiony scenes, and this is it. So it doesn't have any sense. It was just a fun project.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm just starting to learn to map, and I find it really hard at this point to think that in 10 years you've only released two things. I'm presuming then that you have thousands of maps, or hundreds at least, on your hard drive somewhere.
No, I never got into this that much. It was always a hobby. I was, I'm kind of a small filmmaker as well. I do a lot of sports, so there's not much time for me to just to be busy with mods. You know, it's just a small hobby.
Okay, so when you say 10 years, it's like that's really just the time period, but sometimes there wasn't very many hours spent.
Yeah, right. So I had times where I had a great process, and I had times where I did nothing at all on my mods, so periodic and sporadic.
So what made you first think about Focal Point then? What happened for you to say, okay, I'm going to make a mod and I'm actually going to release it?
Basically, I haven't had an idea because I just wanted to create some cool places, and that was my intention to start a mod. Discussing the resonance cascade issue came later, the idea of discussing this issue. Like I said, I hadn't an actual idea. I just started.
Okay, so are you saying that you basically just made a few different areas and then joined them together?
Yeah, kind of. I knew that I wanted to have something military in it. I wanted to start with a hovercraft, but it was difficult to to do because, you know, water and engine problems. And so it's, it doesn't look that good. So I went to on a Chinook helicopter. That was the first thing I had. And so and I was there and I was like, OK, what could they do with a helicopter? Where could it land and what could happen? So this is it.
Okay.
I have to say I was impressed in general because I thought Focal Point as a whole kind of flowed together very well, even though you go through, a number of different areas in Black Mesa, that it's surprising that you didn't really have a clear concept of, this will be the beginning, middle, and end, before you made it all. That's the work that came out of it, let's say, is pretty coherent. And
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm impressed by that.
Yeah, I did plenty of things afterwards because I felt it was too random-like. So I tried to get it straight somehow, and so I put some speeches in it and some hints and so that it looks like it's got a story. But actually, it doesn't. But
yeah, that's what I was about to say. Really, that I'm really disappointed to hear that because we really need to encourage more modders to plan ahead and have the story organized. Yep. But when you come along and say no, I kind of just put it all together and then added some bits and made it flow, it's kind of like oh crap, because now people are going to do the same and the results are not going to be as coherent as yours. So. You understand what I'm saying, don't you?
Yeah, this is my way.
Yeah, okay. That's fair enough. It's your way. True.
Do as I say, not as I do, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, now, for me, this is like a really crucial question. Why didn't you make it work for Steam?
Actually, I don't have any ideas of using Steam. So my knowledge is very small. So I know how to use the Valve Hammer editor, and this is it. So I've never been modding for Steam, and I just downloaded Steam to play Half-Life 2, and this is it. So
okay. I mean, because most of the people will play via Steam.
Yeah,
99%.
That's what I discovered later on. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, it's a simple and fair answer. You didn't use it to build it, and you.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you still play Half-Life?
Actually, I just started playing Half-Life 1 again because I wanted to see all those old maps again. And yeah, I just started it a few days ago.
And you're not using Steam for that still?
No.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Okay. One of the very few, I think, but maybe one of the lucky few because. What you probably don't know is that Valve have recently updated Half-Life, and it's caused a huge amount of problems for a lot of people. So
all right.
Maybe your best just with your standalone version.
Although I have to say, I've noticed Half-Life is a lot faster now that they've updated it. Have you noticed that, Philip? Like loading maps and loading
absolutely.
The menu? Yeah.
Yeah, the menu comes on almost immediately.
Right.
So, okay. So, back to Focal Point. How long would you say that it took you to make?
About 6 to 7 years with interruptions, of course.
Yeah. So. I mean, that's not constant work, is it?
No, not at all.
So nice if Hammer had like a timer facility.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Time how many hours that you took. All right, okay.
Yeah, we'll have to know either, so, well.
How long, did you have any help making it?
Let me think. No.
Wow.
Okay. Now, what about, like, you've clearly shown knowledge and, I would say, mastery of the entities in Half-Life, mapping tricks, let's say. Were there forums or online communities that you used for support or questions or advice or things like that?
The only things I've used forums for were bugs or problems.
Okay.
Technical problems I solved basically on my own.
Wow.
Just like stuck in elevators. And so many special things. I can tell right now because I don't know them more. Basically, to find solutions for my problems.
It's impressive. Hey, Don?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I would say that in the user-made mods that I've played for Half-Life, I don't think I've ever seen such a, I would say, mastery of the Half-Life entities, you know, using things for which they may not have been intended, but convince the player that they're seeing something real, something genuine.
I guess this is like Half-Life works. So
I agree. No, I map a lot too, and I, you know, it, but it's not. It was such a large mod, you know. My time clocked in at about 3 hours, and it's what, maybe,
okay,
15 maps or so, however many maps it is. It's a big project, and you know, there weren't any pieces that weren't impressive to me. Even as I've mapped for slightly longer than you have, again on and off, and really don't have that much release to my name, so we're kind of kindred spirits in a way. I would certainly endeavor to release something like this that was very polished. And I was just impressed. You know, I guess my point is I was impressed by your knowledge and your use of the entities in Half-Life.
Could you just explain to the listeners entities, Don?
Oh, entities are sort of what populates a map. You build the map out of what's called brushes. Those are things like the walls and the floor and the canyon rocks and things like that. And then the entities are often moving things. They're the characters, the enemies, the special effects, the laser beams, the sounds, things like that. So any puzzles that Dimitri created, I was thinking specifically of the power puzzle at the beginning at the dam, where you need to shut the power down and climb up. That whole sequence was pretty impressive to me, when you come in and then just sort of the layout. But that's what I mean by entities. So in Half-Life, there's a certain number of entities you can use, but even going back to the original Half-Life and all the other released games and mods since then, they're often used in a way that maybe weren't intended, to see, like, for example, the same entity that might be a door that rotates could also be the big tower that falls down right at the beginning of that power puzzle.
Yep, that's right.
It's sort of used in trickery of the player. Not really trickery, but just as a method to do what you want it to do.
Okay. All right. So we talked about the fact that you didn't have any help besides the bugs. What about testing? Because testing is something that, you know, I'm particularly interested in. Did you get many testers?
About 4 or 5. Wow. So they were all friends of mine. So I asked him to play my mod, and they were like, sure, I do. And I discovered so many things they were not supposed to happen. And I was a bit upset. I was like, how could that happen? I mean, it's not possible. So, but it was possible. So that was my testing.
Okay, so 4 people. 4 people is very small for a mod of that
4
size.
4 to 5, I guess it was.
Even 4 to 5. Yeah. I mean, of a 3-hour mod, you know, you'd want a lot more. But in this particular case, you didn't. I mean, I had a couple of problems.
Yeah.
But I mean, sometimes, no matter how many testers you get, you can't solve some problems. And you don't know until it's, what we say is, out in the wild. Once it's released and you have 1,000 people playing it, then problems appear. But
yep.
I think I was lucky, even playing under Steam. I didn't encounter any bugs at all. A couple of, not at all. There were a couple of, I wouldn't call them problems, but maybe places where I would get stuck, or I could jump out of the, I could get to the skybox, maybe not jump out of the map, but get to the skybox. But other than that, that wasn't really a problem. That was just kind of me being a pain in the butt and
playing around, sort of,
seeing if I could do it because I wanted to see if there was anything up there. That's
okay.
But no bugs on this side, which is, it looks like I'm one of the lucky ones, because unfortunately some of the other people playing under Steam have gotten it to work, but have encountered some, especially the elevator bug, but that's,
yep,
that's a well-known, you know, Half-Life bug going back for 15 years almost now. So,
yeah. And especially if you didn't build it for Steam, any problems that happen under Steam, really, we can't we can't attribute them to you because you never built it for that. So, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be particularly fair. Which parts of the mod are you most proud of, would you say?
Whoa. Difficult question. Actually, I really don't know.
Okay.
I think there are many places or parts which are special on their own way. So I would say I'm proud of the whole game somehow. So.
Okay, so no particular parts stand out.
No particular parts, no.
All right, okay. What about you, Don? I mean, not proud of it, of course, because you didn't make it. But your favourites, any particular parts?
In fact, sorry.
I need to warn listeners: this section could contain spoilers. So if you haven't played the game, I should have said this right at the beginning. If you haven't played Focal Point, go play it, come back in 3 or 4 hours and listen to this podcast. Okay, carry on, Don. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, I think my first response to that is that there's a lot to choose from because, unlike, you know, Philip, in the past couple months or so, we've had some discussions about Opposing Force and Blue Shift as we replay them for your other event. And one of our complaints has been there's really been a kind of a lack of set pieces and sort of wow moments.
Wow moments, yeah.
Whereas in Focal Point, I thought there were, you know, probably 3 or 4 at least wow moments when you come upon one of the larger areas or sequences. But I would say probably my favorite is maybe one of the more mundane ones, relatively speaking, when you look at the whole mod, and that's the 4-level elevator in the radioactive pit, where you have to ride the container eventually up and over to kind of escape the area. I thought that was just a very well done Black Mesa themed puzzle that was not terribly difficult once you figured out what you had to do, but it was all just very well put together and very well designed, I thought.
Yes. My only criticism of that area is that you can't pick up the wooden beam until you've been down to the top to see where it goes.
Yep. That's right. But my idea of that was that the character needs to see for what he gotta use this metal beam, because the player knows it, but the character doesn't. That was my idea of this.
Yeah, no, I understand why you did it. I mean, I would have perhaps suggested that they couldn't get to that area until they'd been to the other area.
All right, yeah.
But that, I mean, that's easy to say now, but with such a big mod and so many options, it's, you know, it's difficult. Which actually brings us on to maybe the next point, which is there was a couple of times where you gave the player help specifically by, I'm not sure what the entity would be called or how you would describe it, but in the case of that puzzle where you showed where the wooden beam would go, and there was a relay, I think, that was either red or green that you had to collect.
Yep.
What was the thinking behind that?
You mean that I show the player what to do?
Yeah, I mean, did your testers say I got lost at that point and I didn't know what to do?
Yeah. Some players got lost a bit, but I think it's the puzzles are kind of complex somehow, so complicated. So I thought it would be easier to make them visible. Well. To make the relay visible somehow. So,
Don, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought it was a nice balance of not telling the player where to go, but just hinting him in the right direction. It's the same thing with the puzzle that I mentioned as my favorite, sort of when you know you need a lever and a little fulcrum to kind of pry that container out of the way. It kind of hints, you know, what you're looking for in sort of the flashing red, and then it links to what you see down below in the flashing green or yellow or whatever that was. But it wasn't, it didn't lead the player by the nose. You helped him out a little bit, and I thought there was just a nice balance there. But I did notice, looking at the mod DB page, you've sort of made a statement maybe in your own defense, I'm not sure, but that this mod is for people that like puzzles and exploration, not necessarily action-packed, you know, Half-Life gameplay. Did you have a negative reaction from people being so puzzle oriented?
Yeah, not really negative, but some people mentioned that they get lost somehow and you know, spend plenty of time to find the way, and I just wanted the players to make aware of that. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I never got particularly lost. I got stuck in that container puzzle because I kept dying, and I didn't know whether it was a fault of the engine or my fault. So I spent a number of, I wouldn't say hours, but
where have you died? At which point?
Where I had to get on top of the container to go upwards.
Right.
Every time I got on that container, I died.
Hmm.
And I managed to get on the top of the container at the other end as well, you know, where it sort of comes out. I managed to jump on it there, and I would crouch, and I would get down, and I would jump, and I died every single time. And in the end, I just clipped up to the balcony, and I figured it was an engine issue rather than...
Guess so. That's okay. But I was wondering, because many people haven't this problem. They didn't get stuck at all.
No, yeah, I mean, I had no problem there. So,
I played under opposing force. Because when I looked at the ModDB page, I couldn't get my Half-Life standalone installation to work properly, and I really wanted widescreen gaming as well. So, I looked on the ModDB comments, and they said that it was possible to get it working as an opposing force mod.
Mm.
And my site has its own application called MapTap that allows people to install maps and mods very easily, so I built it for that, and I installed it with that. So when I did get that problem, I just assumed it was not your fault or my fault, just the fault of incompatibility, you know.
All right.
But everything else I thought was clear. I mean, I didn't kind of get lost at any point. I loved wandering around, so I never had any particular issues.
But you're a smart player.
No, I wouldn't say that, but I'm a lucky player.
All right.
What would you, I mean, I know we've asked you what you're most proud of and you found it hard, but is there any particular elements of the mod that you don't particularly like in retrospect?
I personally like, I guess I like the alien ship scene.
Okay. I'm asking about,
I was going to say which one, right? I mean, you have...
I'm sorry, did I
my question. I meant, which one did you like the least? Is that the question you're answering? I'm sorry.
Could you repeat?
I'm asking about which parts of the mod that you don't particularly like now that you've finished it and played it, and
I don't like.
Yeah. Are there any parts that you like? Think, oh man, I wish I'd done that differently.
Yes, for sure. I guess I could have been enhancing every section, every part of this game. So, but especially, I don't know. Well, it's difficult. I think there are many places I could have been built better.
You sound like a perfectionist a little bit, which I kind of tend like. After I look at something that I made, all I see is what I could add and how I could make it maybe a little more streamlined.
Yes, but we are perfectionists, aren't we?
I am, yeah.
You are.
I mean, it's good in a fashion, because then you're not satisfied until something is pretty polished, I think, and that certainly shows in Focal Point. Now, one quick tool question. Was hammer the only tool that you, map building tool that you used here? Because I was especially impressed, I think we both were, Philip, by the outdoor canyon sections especially. Mm-hmm. And hammer is, you know, maybe not the best tool for directly making those rocks, although of course it can be used. But yes, you said hammer was the only tool that you used to build?
Yep, that's true. Okay. Yeah.
So are there other ways to build those kind of canyon areas then?
Or well, the, yeah, there's another sort of third-party program that a guy named Nemesis has released that's just built toward making terrain for Half-Life. And I think it probably works with other engines too. And you know, curiously enough, there was a Quake level editor released only about a week ago called Trench Broom, which is specifically designed for all it has is a 3D view when you're building. In other words, it doesn't have the 2D views that Hammer has. So it's specifically designed to allow you to build terrain very easily. So it doesn't work with Half-Life yet, but he's adding that soon because it is, you know, at its heart, a Quake engine game.
So. All right. Okay. So, I mean, as a non-mapper, I mean, I recognize that those areas, you know, were much better than the standard Rocky, you know, releases that we get. So what's different about them, Dimitri? What did you do differently to make them look so good?
I guess I didn't do anything different. I just cut them randomly, and so that's why they look like this. So
yeah, I mean, many of the areas that we often see are just very straight and, you know, very regular, but yours, you know, look different. Don, you know, I mean, you noticed it too, of course.
Yeah, certainly, and maybe it's because we've played so many you know, user-made mods, Philip, that we see people often, you know, I would say taking shortcuts or you know, maybe working from the same tutorial online of how to build rocks in Half-Life, and they often let the textures do most of the work for them in terms of looking three-dimensional. Whereas you actually built many of the rocks three-dimensional, and then the textures, I think you chose the right rock textures too. Half-Life and TFC have a number of rock textures, and some are much, much better than others in looking realistic, perhaps. But I thought, yeah, it's hard to say. It's if you didn't specifically use any tricks or you know, special tools, I think you just have a knack for building great natural-looking canyons in the Half-Life engine.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I've got a very specific question to do with an assassin. Near the beginning, there's a sort of a large area with the truck, and the truck roadway connects to the very large machine engine, the engine machine room lift.
Yep.
On the top of that, there's like one lone assassin. You know, what made you put her there?
An assassin? I wanted to have something actiony, so this is the only reason, because I thought it would fit into this scene.
Okay, I'm not criticizing. Please don't think I am.
No, I'm not.
I mean, I was just walking around, and suddenly I got shot, and I was like, "Oh, where did that come from?" And then it took me a while to figure out that she was up there, and it just seemed a little strange because, you know, not that it was out of place, but she was just up there on her own, hanging around, you know, waiting for people.
Yeah.
So, well, I think, you know, if that's the same section I'm thinking of, it's, you know, one of the only sections assassins show up. But I think if you use the radio that's on the ground there, you get a little bit of an explanation, don't you?
Yep.
You get a warning to avoid the, not the Black Ops specifically, but something, another faction or something that's coming in. So you get some, if you use that radio and listen to the speech, you get a little bit of warning that she's around somewhere there, Philip. So.
Oh, okay. Maybe I used the radio afterwards, and by then it didn't click.
Yeah. But same thing for me. I was getting shot on the ground from above. I thought it was actually very interesting enemy placement because they're kind of sharpshooters from very far away and hard to see up on the ceiling. So.
It changed the whole way that area plays. If I hadn't got shot, I'd be running around like an idiot. But suddenly I got shot. And then it changed the way I thought about the area. Okay, there's clearly somebody here. I was like crouching. I was looking around the corners. And you probably added 3 or 4 minutes of gameplay just by one intelligent placement of that enemy. So, yeah, an interesting choice.
That does remind me quickly of the other section, maybe the only other section where assassins show up, and that's in the sort of the canyon you drop down into that has a bunch of trees and some water there.
God, I hated you when you did that. Okay. Oh, sorry, Don.
The first time they got me because, A, That was one of the places where you kind of made the Gold Source engine chug a little bit. That was some of your wide open areas. And I don't have a very high spec PC, but it's maybe 2 years old, but I've got a decent video card still. You know, it would stutter a little bit. So that made that especially difficult with three assassins in the dark shooting me. But I also found that you could jump on the canyon to the left, make your way around, and then drop down into the water without ever triggering the assassins to come.
Oh, you found that way. All right. Okay.
I did. Maybe unintentionally. That's me, like I said,
probably yeah,
pain in the butt, beta tester style. But I kept going because I didn't want to die over and over there.
You had three assassins, did you, Don?
I thought it was two or three there in that section.
I only remember two.
Maybe it's just
there were two.
Okay. I thought it was three, but yeah.
I was thinking then perhaps if you played on medium or hard, then maybe there'd be more assassins. Can you do that in the engine? Can you say that when it's on hard, there's like more
enemies? Can't. Not without special code. Your Spirit of Half-Life, for example, lets you do that. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, talking about places where it chugged, the serious problem came for me was in the Resonance Cascade room. I just, it crashed. It just crashed, you know, unfortunately, Dimitri sent me some saves, which allowed me to continue. Thank goodness, because I would have missed some great parts. But that definitely was an issue for me. Did you have no problems there, Don?
No crashes. It did chug a little bit especially when I was standing next to the scientist and looking out in that direction. But
I had to turn around in those cases.
Yeah, me too, because his speech was getting interrupted a little bit as he was talking to me. But the game when I had to play through that area, especially that final part where you have the crystal already and the aliens are coming in, wasn't too bad. I mean, I died a couple times there because I was moderately low on health coming in, but it didn't crash at all for me. So.
Did testers, report any problems there, Dimitri?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. So that was one of the points I was wondering about, because I had never discovered any problems or troubles with shooting the sample or doing the whole sequence. So.
Okay. I mean, how long did that particular part take to make?
You mean just the chamber scene or the whole scene where you gotta get out on the surface?
Chamber scene, specifically, I would
say. It was actually not that long. I really don't know how long. I guess it was about a month, I think. But compared to the other problems I had, it was nothing. It was not like nothing.
So did you build it from scratch, or did you sort of decompile the Half-Life 1?
I decompiled it to have the same scale, the same size, but I completely rebuilt it from scratch.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's go back to another specific area. This is the key card, which is around by Otis.
Yep.
A lot of people, but a few people said that they had trouble. And I did have trouble, but I think I was just lucky because I think I just got bored and I shot him.
All right.
I picked it up a little bit later or after that, and I didn't make the connection. So what is basically the connection there, that he can't see you taking the key card? Is that it?
He can see you taking the card, and he's not allowing you to take it. So.
Oh, okay. I mean, how did you collect it, Don?
I figured out after a minute or so that he was probably preventing me from taking it, so I shot him. Well, first I made him draw his gun so I would have a Desert Eagle, and then I shot him. Yeah.
Harry, guys are mean. You know that.
I didn't know what else to do. I guess.
Yeah,
we found out you could distract him with the fire alarm or something, right?
But, yeah, that's true. You can do it.
And the drinks machine as well, I think.
Oh,
is that right?
Yep. So he takes the elevator, down to the machine. He tries to buy a candy bar or whatever, and he's distracted, and you can take the card after that.
Very clever. So, Let me talk about one of my wow scenes. One of my wow scenes is the area outside with the huge alien ship, where you have to sort of get across the balcony and then jump down onto the light fittings and then across there. That's a fantastic area. Tell us about that.
This is actually a part I'm pretty proud of.
Yeah, you should be.
So, what was the question about this? Sorry.
No question. Just, you know, tell us about that area. You know,
all right,
what inspired you, that sort of thing.
I think it was pretty much inspired by Independence Day and several science fiction movies where huge alien ships are about to destruct the world. I don't know. And I thought it was a good place to destruct. So it wasn't basically my intention to get along this area again, but I found it was a good place to make this scene. And you know, we had a large alien ship destroying an Osprey helicopter, and I was like, okay, we need something really big, and that was the reason I built this kind of, what is this, Devil Ray ship? I don't know what it is, but yeah, a huge laser gun.
And is it difficult to do that kind of thing?
Once you have figured out how you could establish such a scene, it's not that difficult. But it took me some time to figure out how to do this.
Okay. All right.
Go, Don. Okay. Well, this is getting a little more technical for a second, but in that large scene that Philip, you know, brought up, I noticed that the ship shoots, I think it's like four or so predetermined locations,
mm-hmm.
and then if you're still alive, it shoots you.
Yep.
Directly at you. Now, do you wish that you had that capability to aim toward the player and not necessarily kill him? In other words, let me put this. Let's see. Usually that last laser beam that will probably kill the player, you're aiming, your target is the player. Right? But
yep, that's true.
For example, the Spirit of Half-Life lets you target the player but put a delay on it or follow the player. So you could always have the ship, in other words, you could have the ship shooting toward the player, maybe not directly at him, to sort of make the scene a little more intense rather than... So if you play that, my point is, if you play that, you know, three or four times, which I had to personally because I kept falling or getting killed, is that you know the sequence of laser, predetermined laser beam points before you actually get shot. Do you wish you could mix that up a little bit? Did you feel limited by the Half-Life engine?
I guess. Yeah, a bit, but... If you move fast enough, I think the laser is not gonna hit you.
Oh, okay.
Well, it did me, and I was moving really quickly, but it still kept hitting me.
Yeah, you gotta have a lot of luck, I think. But if you move fast enough, it shouldn't hit you. I think.
Okay. Obviously, I wasn't moving fast enough.
Did you feel let me broaden that question. Did you feel limited by what Half-Life and Opposing Force had to offer throughout your mod? Is there a place where you wanted to do something and you couldn't quite do it within the code of Half-Life?
Yep. That was the huge cave. I have plenty of designs for this scene or for the unit, not the cave where you go to supposed to change the relay. And that was I think the most critical map, because I had to leave a lot of details I would have loved to add, but it's basically just a huge cave, and this is it. And this is if I put anything into this map, it would work anymore.
I'm not sure I know where you're talking about, because I got to the point where I collected the relay, but then that's where it crashed for me. So is that a new area that I missed completely, or am I just not understanding?
It could be, yeah. There's a distinct place where you have to put the relay in, and there's a there's a series of walkways and a short tram ride too, where you have to turn the power off, right? To just to allow you to do that. I thought that was one of the most impressive set pieces too. So, yeah. Well, maybe I'll do a YouTube, recording of that for you, Philip, if you can't, or maybe you can probably load the map directly, honestly, and at least get a look at it, if not play it.
Is it it's a separate map in itself, is it?
It's a separate map, yeah.
Okay. Yep. So once you collect the relay, you go down. What do you do then? You go down in the lift again.
Yeah. You go to the service level, and then you have to take an elevator again, and then you are supposed to change it. And
okay. So I go to the surface. This is the same place where the huge ship.
The service. You go to the surface.
Service.
Yeah.
Where you pick the relay up, then you go down to the service. Okay. We're supposed to change it.
And that leads into a new map. I'll have a look at that.
Yep.
So you would say, Dimitri, you would say that was more of an engine limitation. Rather, you didn't necessarily want to do more there. You just wanted more physical detail on the map there?
Yep, that's true. Okay.
Okay. I'm disappointed now that I missed things.
Yeah, that was a big... that probably would have been my second choice in list of impressive set pieces. A map I've been working on that I want very much of that same effect, sort of a large dark chasm with walkways over it. So you've certainly inspired me, Dimitri.
Okay. Glad to read that.
So about these spaceships, I mean, were they particularly difficult to create besides any effects? I mean, they were new textures, I presume. Yes, they're not textures from Half-Life.
It's textures from Half-Life.
Oh.
Zen-based textures, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Then you've used them really well.
Thank you. But if you scale them large enough, it shouldn't be that difficult to create this visual effect somehow. But basically, they were not very difficult to create because I had the ideas. I got a sheet of paper and a pen, and I started to draw some sketches and. I think I found out the design fairly quick.
Okay. All right. Were there any Easter eggs that you put in there that people haven't found or like little special seconds?
Besides the Easter egg with Otis, there is another Easter egg with a poster. You haven't seen it. You're going to find it when you check out the service level. There is a picture on the wall, which is kind of an Easter egg, yeah.
Oh, okay. And that's in the area that I haven't played?
Yep.
Oh. I don't even remember that. I played through that and didn't even notice it, I think.
Yeah, it's a kind of a marketing thing to one of my other projects. So it's a long story to tell, but I think it's interesting too.
Another mapping project?
Nope. It's okay. Let's say it's a real Half-Life project. We have a mine where we are doing some adventure games, some live action adventure games.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
So what? It's like. Role playing. But...
It's like role playing, but it's a bit different because you have a straight storyline, and your enemies are actors, and you're supposed to find puzzle as well, to shoot them, and to escape.
All right.
That's Is this something cool. that you know other people can? Keep track of or watch, like perhaps on YouTube or something like that?
Yes. We have a teaser video on YouTube, but it's an old one. We're about to make a new one. But yes, there is a video on YouTube.
Oh, well, I'll add the link to that notes.
Yeah, if you send me the link when we finish recording, Dimitri,
yeah,
I'll
sure,
add it
I
to
can
the
do
post.
This. Yeah, sure.
All right, cool. So I'd like to move on to the final ride, which was, you know, that word, it was a ride. That's fantastic. Tell us about that.
All right. Yeah, it was pretty much fun to do this. But I thought it's gonna something happen because okay, the scientist is dead, you've saved the world, maybe or not, you don't know. and I was like, okay, we need some Indiana Jones like action scene. That was the idea. So it's a bit funny because Half-Life 1 starts with a train ride, with a long train ride, and this is some kind of what do you say?
A bookend. These kind of things are often called bookends. Yeah. One at one end, one at the other.
Yeah, right. So that was the idea to make a train ride.
It's a great ride. Really is good.
And this is one of this is one of the points where I had troubles with the engine because
that's what I was about to ask. Yeah.
Yeah. This is only one map, and I don't want to have any loadings in it. So it's got to be a whole map and just a consecutive ride without any loadings, and that was a tough thing to do.
Yeah, it looked like the different areas you went through are fairly spread out. In other words, you kind of go left, right, you go up, down, so you can kind of separate your rooms and the areas you go through so the engine doesn't see everything at once.
Right, yep.
But I know that's tricky, and that's a lot of work. Did you have trouble with the tram killing the player as you rode it?
Not killing, but stucking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
I didn't have any trouble, actually.
Yeah, well, if you stay in the tram, if you jump at all, you can get into trouble. I did have that happen once. I wouldn't call it a bug, but it it was probably my fault for jumping out of the car. But
you got stuck once, or?
Yeah, just for a moment, but then the tram kept going. But it didn't kill me, so.
Okay.
But I know that the Half-Life engine with especially with fast moving trams can often jib the player, just kill him instantly if he's stuck between architecture, the room and the tram that's moving. So I wasn't sure if you had to do anything special to prevent that, other than maybe build the path for the tram large enough that the player's head could fit through without any trouble.
Took me a long time to make the areas wide enough to let the train through. That was difficult, yeah.
Well, it was very well done. I mean, I really had fun. I think I wrote it twice just for the hell of it.
Okay, that's cool.
Don, did you do that?
Yeah, I actually just reloaded it yesterday and tried it by itself, that map by itself, and just to take another look at that. Yeah, that was pretty impressive. So it was a great way to end the mod after your sort of battle at the Resonance Cascade. I thought it was an appropriate, payoff for the player escaping the facility that way.
Yeah, actually, it's an interesting point because we often expect the mod to finish with like a huge battle or a boss battle or some kind of challenge, whereas here it was just like a cool scene that you were rewarded with because you finished the mod in effect, but you didn't have to do any fighting. So that was kind of a nice twist. I like that. I can't remember many mods that have done that before. Don probably can.
I can't really think of any, no.
Got an elephant type memory, no disrespect intended, but all right. Which actually brings me on to one of my last few points, which is, have you played many other mods, Dimitri?
Yes. I've been playing, I guess, not many, but some special mods. You want to know them, or?
Yeah. Tell which ones that you sort of, remember.
The last one, I was really, I really liked was Hazardous Course 2. I think this is one of the best mods ever built for Half-Life, because it's completely weird somehow, but it's, on the other hand, it's really realistic, and you see that the author was aware of all those technical problems you would discover in order to build a tower which reaches into the I'm spoiling, I'm sorry.
Don't worry.
I'm spoiling. Which reaches into the space, you know, and this shows me that the player, the author knows how the world works, you know, and that's why I think Hazardous Course 2 is one of the best mods. I also played Darkstar for sure, Poke 646, it was very, very good. Half-Life Paranoia, I think it's a Russian mod.
It is, yep.
And for sure, They Hunger.
Okay.
Very good.
What about The Trap? Have you played The Trap?
No. The Trap? No. What is that?
This is like a mod where you basically have to escape. It's kind of like a Portal, but I think it was released before Portal. Incredibly clever. Incredibly. And I'm sure that you guys will look at some of the things that he's done there and see the technical ability that he has. I've mentioned the mod to you before, Don. Have you had a chance to play?
No, I still haven't played it.
Okay, you guys go search for 1.5 because my site is a little bit behind. But on ModDB, he's got the latest one. Go play it. And it's not because I'm the announcer. I do the voice acting for the announcer. It's not because of that. It really is a very cool mod, and I'm sure it's technically incredible as well. So you guys should check that out.
Yeah,
any more questions?
I would recommend to Dmitry, if you wanted to see what can be done with the spirit of Half-Life, the one that comes to my mind is Half-Quake Sunrise.
Oh, Half-Quake. Oh, yeah, this is one of the mods I've been playing.
But it's the last one. It's Half-Quake Sunrise, where he uses code from Spirit of Half-Life. So that allows him to make a lot of let's say, moving, switching, rotating entities that you can't do in Half-Life Opposing Force. It's a very interesting use of the special entities that are in Spirit.
Okay, I'm going to check this. Half-Quake was one of the...
That's on my site if you want that one.
Half-Quake Sunrise is the name of it.
Okay.
Just beware, if you haven't played Half-Quake before, it's a little frustrating to play. You'll probably die a lot, but as long as you quick save and quick load, you'll be in good shape, I think.
I think it's probably one of the easier ones, isn't it?
Yeah, it's at least the puzzles in it are pretty logical. They're not very abstract like they are in some of the other Half-Quakes, where it's really random whether you live or die. In Half-Quake Sunrise, the puzzles you have to conquer sometimes are difficult, but it's usually very clear how to approach it. They're logical in that fashion. So, my last question would be, I was, you know, to just to reiterate, I was technically impressed with just how polished and how well put together all the parts of Focal Point were, and then how they flowed together from beginning to end as well. And I think a lot of Half-Life mappers would have a lot to learn from you studying your maps. No, I mean, just seriously, by studying your maps, studying how the entities are put together. So have you ever given thought to releasing the sources for your map?
I haven't thought about it, but I would.
If you consider that, if you have any questions or problems or things like that, you're welcome to email me or talk to me. But I think a lot of mappers, myself in particular, speaking for me, but I think, you know, we'd have a lot to learn, because I thought there's some great tricks in there that even mapping for 13 years now, I would have some difficulty explaining exactly how you did that. And that surprises me, to be honest. Not to toot my own horn, as we say, but I know the Half-Life engine pretty well, and there were some surprises in there for me, which I was not expecting.
Okay. Glad to hear. So, yeah, we can share the source for sure, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Great.
All right. Great. Well, I'd like to finish by saying thank you so much, first of all, for building the mod. Secondly, for releasing the mod.
All right.
And then thirdly, for taking the time today. Is there anything that you want to add? You know, like questions that you expected us to ask, or any like shout outs or anything?
First of all, I want to thank you for playing the mod. Because when I finished the mod, I wasn't sure if I should release it, because I was like, there's so many good mods out there, and do you seriously want to want to share it with other people because is it good enough? And that was my thought when releasing the mod. But now I'm glad to hear that from you. So any questions? Yes. How long have you been playing Half-Life?
No. What I meant was just if there were just anything that you wanted to talk about with the mod that we didn't ask you and stuff like that. I just wanted to give you that opportunity to.
All right. Yeah. Maybe one thing because some people are a bit confused why so less enemies are in the mod. This is because of one reason because I seriously got tired of shooting down always the same enemies. And when you've been playing that many mods, you know how a barnacle behaves, how a bull chicken behaves, and it's boring somehow, and that's the reason why I put so many puzzles in it, instead of combating that much.
Okay, it's a fair point. I mean, it's easy to build a box and stick a couple of enemies in and a spawn point. I mean, really, almost anybody can do that. But what you've done is much more thoughtful. So,
yeah, that was my intention. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's it. Thank you very, very much. And we look forward to any other mapping projects that you decide to release. Are there any?
I personally hope you come back to Half-Life at some point because this has been a gem of a mod, and I'd love to see more from you.
Yeah, I'm seriously loving this, but the problem is it takes so much time. You don't get any money for this, and there's so many important things you got to do in your life, and so
My personal advice would be pick something small and focused. Two or three maps, and then maybe not. Don't necessarily add a storyline, but maybe have a logical set of maps and polish it up because you're clearly capable of releasing something polished and finished. And that would be my advice if you ever get back into it, is just take, as we say, bite-sized chunks.
That's a good point, yeah.
Aim for maybe a half an hour of a really good puzzle or action or whatever you want to make it, and do it well.
Yeah, it'd be a shame that you release this and then we don't get to play anything else. But we understand that there's more to life than Half-Life. Not much more, but there is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks very much, and keep playing, even if you don't keep mapping. So thank you for Don for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, Dimitri. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Don. Mm-hmm. Have a good time.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Remember, finishing Half-Life is just the beginning.